Welcome back to the download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Last night's terrible events in Dallas, Texas have reverberated throughout the country and the world, as many have sent their condolences to the families of the fallen police officers, and almost all have denounced the violence. Closer to home, Chicago police officers are on alert as protests continue tonight. Joining me on the line is Dean Angelo Sr. He's the president of the Fraternal Order of Police, Chicago Lodge No. 7. Mr. Angelo, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
First, your reactions to what we saw last night in Dallas.
Shock, disbelief, frustration, aggravation. You know, we ran the whole gamut.
Yeah. Last night, the Chicago police issued an all-call, which is like an alert to police officers, about what happened in Dallas. How are local officers preparing for tonight with protests back scheduled for tonight and also for the weekend?
You know, I'm not privy to yet, actually. I'm not privy to what the department's intentions are going to be. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that they would be heightened. I would imagine that there would be extra people assigned. And hopefully people will be deployed in a different manner as they might have been deployed, before yesterday.
When we talk about the mentality of a police officer, obviously what you see in happening in other cities, especially something like as bad as what we saw in Dallas, Texas, that has to get into police officers' mental state as they prepare for a weekend of work.
Well, you know, we had another officer that just passed away that was shot earlier in Missouri. We had another officer that was just shot in Georgia. So, you know, our officers are very aware of what's going on across the country. Also, what they've been experiencing here for the last many months. You know, nothing is routine. Nothing was ever routine, but there's a heightened sense of concern right now for not only the police officers, but the spouses that they've kissed goodbye, the kids they hugged before they left, their families, parents of police officers all have a new level of concern and angst that they might not have had yesterday.
Well, you've talked about it recently that department morale is low and that there needs to be more done to support officers who are policing, especially in tough neighborhoods. When you think about that, which we've heard from you in the last couple of weeks and from the union, this weekend I would consider that you would say that even more.
Well, you know, I mentioned it on the 28th when we were at the City Club about a deafening silence of support that's out there or that's not out there. The elected officials, the people that represent the communities that are most in need should be welcoming and encouraging more police involvement as opposed to questioning tactics and looking at incidents that have nothing to do with Chicago when it comes to supporting police officers. And, you know, yesterday I was at the city council and some of the, the looks or the language and the rhetoric that came from some questions and some, elected officials there was questionable to say the least.
Well, I mean, where do you think that comes from? I mean, obviously, as there's pressure from communities to have their, their elected officials be able to hold people accountable, especially when we see things happen where there are incidences with police and communities. Where do you think that comes from where the rhetoric is changing and make it more questionable in your estimation?
Well, you know, there's been an anti-police platform that some politicals are running on, not only in Chicago, but, statewide and even nationally. It's almost as if you are looking for support from your constituents or the movement that's become commonplace so that it doesn't behoove your future political career to support police officers. Mm-hmm. So although I might get a handshake in the back room or I might get a wink or a phone call in public, it's, please don't have the FOP endorse me, because it might not look good to my constituents, but I got your guys' back, and I'm supportive of what police officers do, but they just can't do it publicly, and that's not uncommon for me to hear.
The conversation before Dallas was about policing in minority communities, about what happened in Baton Rouge, and also what we saw in video in the suburbs of St. Paul. As we look for solutions, as everybody comes together, as president of the police union, what can you tell us that could better understand the relationship between police and minority communities and why there's so much tension?
Well, you know, you look at that accountability task force report that comes out, and one of the first things they talk about is systemic racism. based on a four-month data grab by the ACLU from a while back, where they looked at a disparaging number, or they claimed that a disparaging number of people of color would have been stopped by the Chicago police. But they don't take into consideration, and I put this to Lori Lightfoot, they don't take into consideration the areas those stops came from and the amount of officers that are assigned or regularly work in those areas. And I use the 11th District at Kedzie and Harrison as an example. Geographically, it's not a very big district. It's less than half of the size of the 16th District on the far northwest side. The 11th District has 444 police officers assigned there. 16 has 196. So 11th District leads just about in every category, or the categories that I did my study on, which were gun arrest, narcotic arrest, and homicides. So the types of crime determines the manpower deployment.
Okay.
So you have more than twice the amount of police officers assigned there on a regular basis that work in that district. And because they lead in guns, gangs, and murders, the department also deploys the gun teams, the gang teams, the narcotic teams, and the saturation teams, thereby more than doubling the amount of police officers assigned there. And when I brought this to the attention of Lori Lightfoot, and I mentioned, did you take that into consideration, that the area is being saturated with police officers because of the type of crime and the deployment process calls for service that the department utilizes to assign officers there? And that wasn't taken into consideration. I would claim that you should expect increased contact of people of color from those communities where you have this over-deployment
right.
of not only beat personnel, but outside unit personnel being assigned there. It should be expected that the area, which is 99% African-American, would come back with, on that report, a higher level of police contact, thereby giving a skewed number about this racist claim when you look at just a numeric value.
I will grant the idea that in that accountability, that's a very strong word to say that the Chicago Police Department is racist in any form, and that was in the accountability study. But what do you think it is about the relationship between the black community and police that every time that there is an incident somewhere in the country that it sparks this kind of protest? What does it say about the relationship between policing minority communities?
Well, you know what? It's that type of rhetoric that preceded a lot of these demonstrations, and it's not only here, it's elsewhere. It's also something I talked about before when we were at the club, City Club, was, you know, the media's perceptions and some of the media's misreports on circumstances that occurred, and not utilizing the entire incident or the event, just the result of the event. The lack of compliance in some of the headline cases, that's a common denominator. The lack of compliance on the individuals that are involved with the police. Keep your hands on the wheel, drop your gun, don't come for my gun, drop your knife, put your hands behind your back. If there's compliance, the incident's over. It doesn't escalate, and it doesn't turn into a headline. The person's in handcuffs, are still alive, and they're going to have their day in court. But we don't get into that discussion. We look at the result because that's all that's shared. We don't look into the history or the type of circumstances surrounding the event as much as we get into and deal with the result. And when we jump to dealing and focusing on just the result, people are looking for a response, and they're looking for it quickly. You know, social media is a contributing factor. The media itself is a contributing factor. A history of, you know, police involvement and high crime in those areas, sure, you're going to have more contact with police, and it probably is going to be considered negative on the part of the citizen because they might get stopped more often, again, because there's more police officers in that area. The policeman never knows who's behind that wheel until they find out. You know who we are. We're easily identified. We used to have a document that came out of the union that said what to do when stopped by the police. whether you're driving or whether you're on the street. And I think that's time for that document to go back out. One side was written in English, the other side in Spanish. Keep your hands on the wheel. It's a lawful order. We have the ability to give people lawful orders by our office. Stop, get your hands out of your pocket. You want to make sure you're safe as I speak to you or as I have my initial contact with you. Put your hands behind your back if you're going to jail, if you're being arrested. That's a lawful request. It's a lawful order. And lack of compliance in these circumstances is a lot of, or it has to be considered in what happens when these situations get out of hand.
Well, we look forward to continuing the conversation with you, Mr. Angelo. We'd love to have you back on the program to talk about policing solutions and moving forward. Dean Angelo Sr. is the president of the Fraternal Order of Police, Chicago Lodge No. 7. Thanks so much for taking some time out tonight. We appreciate it.
Very-